Chapter 5. Self-Medication. We humans are animals. I think we often forget that because we spend so much time in our heads. I remember reading a stat that we have 84% identical DNA to a mouse. A mouse! It's in the high 90s with orangutans. Even if you've read those stats and you accept them as fact, we often forget to look at our behaviors and our experiences through that lens. We forget in our daily lives that we are genetically wired for fear. Fear is our prominent survival tactic, and the fear instinct is so strong that we often make our decisions in reaction to it. There's more and more talk about humans wiring for fear, but it appears we are not also shedding our shame when we feel fear. Why is that? That our socialization as humans dictates that we must feel shame for an emotional experience that is instinctual and has kept us alive for, what, 6 million years? Why, then, with this widely accepted truth that fear is natural, do we have so little practical knowledge about how to effectively manage it? And why, as an American society, do we put so little value on learning about our emotions and learning tools to effectively manage our emotions as to increase our quality of life and our capacity to experience joy? After all, isn't that what it's supposed to be all about? Perhaps it's a philosophical question, although I think it's basically because someone benefits from our collective ignorance, and therefore, it's more of a socio-political one. And there's another book. What I have seen clinically is that most people who have not been taught to manage their emotions effectively do one of a handful of things. One, they attempt to convince themselves their emotions are not really happening and everything is fine. Two, they project their emotions out onto something, or usually someone else, most likely in the form of criticism. That asshole cut me off on purpose. You thought the car pulling in front of you might collide with you, which kicked in your fight or flight response to perceived imminent harm or death. You have not been taught the tools to manage fear effectively, so the fear gets projected out as criticism. A narrative about how that person cut you off on purpose, which reflects that they are a bad person. Wow. All just a made-up story. Fear is indeed a liar. Three, they try to find a way to control their environment, including other people, in order to predict the future so they won't be caught off guard, which is both driven by and causes more fear. Four, find a way not to feel. The tendency to make our world into black or white, right or wrong, worthwhile or worthless, is rampant and is linked to high rates of anxiety and depression. So why do people do it then? Well, one, we're hardwired for fear. Two, we do not get taught tools to effectively name, accept, and manage fear. When I work with participants, remember, I don't say patients, of any age, I talk about the acceptance of living in the gray, and it's all gray. I challenge people to accept that all reality is gray, and instead of clinging to a manufactured concept of certainty, perhaps it would be more effective to learn how to manage the anxiety that naturally comes from the, I don't know. that we're all just bumbling around in life, making our best educated guess about everything. And that's okay. Yeah, it takes time and a lot of hard work and conversation and listening to each other. And while we're doing this existential level work, we also need to accurately identify how we currently self-medicate our emotions until we have those tools to manage them head on. Self-medication is not taking an ibuprofen for a headache. Self-medication methods are the behaviors we humans engage in instead of dealing with our emotions. All four of those sets of behaviors previously mentioned above are ways people self-medicate. We avoid, we try to control, we push down, we deny, we offload onto someone else all the emotions we don't have tools for. Especially fear, since that's the emotion most humans experience most frequently. Since at its core, it is a behavior meant to avoid emotions, self-medication is not healthy. And the kinds of self-medicating behaviors we see in modern humans are, strangely, widely accepted and socially normalized. Behaviors like imbibing in alcohol, tobacco, benzos to slow down, e.g. Valium, Xanax, Ativan. Speed, including caffeine and prescriptions like Adderall and Ritalin. Weed. These are all actual substances, but self-medication comes in other forms that are also harmful. Workaholism. Internet browsing or Netflix binges. Working out. Food. Overeating, emotional eating, excess salt, sugar, fat, etc. There are many more. And you'll notice that this is a list mostly of legal purchases, aside from marijuana, not everywhere yet. And unless you have a prescription, benzos and most speed. Also, I have found the amount of high-functioning adult professionals that mix benzos and wine shocks me. How many famous people have to die from this and other downer-downer combos? I'm alarmist about almost nothing. But benzos and alcohol consumed together often casually raises my eyebrows. It's strange how using substances and over-relying on them is often seen as a problem when it is illegal or puts someone into a crisis, like cocaine, oxy, cutting, fatal extreme sport accidents. But non-fatal accidents are cool, and running marathons, though generally agreed upon as quite hard on the body, is societally viewed as a high achievement of a highly disciplined individual. The reality of what I see is that multiple marathoners are often actually running away from fear. It's hard to know where society draws the line on where these behaviors lie, in the healthy or unhealthy camp. In psychology, an unhealthy or maladaptive behavior is often defined by if your involvement in the behavior is negatively impacting your ability to function at work, school, or in your social relationships. Okay, and who defines that? Now, I'm not saying there's a lot of interpretation or wiggle room in defining if cutting is healthy or unhealthy. Even people who cut themselves believe it is unhealthy to deliberately hurt themselves. But they do it because it works, meaning it reduces the intensity of the negative emotions that are currently overwhelming them and causing distress. They wouldn't do it if it didn't work. And in that way, cutting is much like problem drinking or sex addiction, or any drug at all taken to numb out a distressing emotion. And that can be even when that drug is prescribed. Behavior in one form or another, likely many times in their lives. What if the routine of coming home from work and having a cocktail was, instead, a short neighborhood walk before dinner? Meditation, when practiced with some regularity, has been shown to lower blood pressure, heart rate, and reduce inflammation. A martial art teaches a practice of disciplining the mind and using the body in a way one can defend themselves. Never underestimate the calming effect controlled hitting of something can have on raging adolescent hormones. I'd argue it's healthier and more legal than fighting with other humans, more active than escaping into video games, and definitely more compassionate than cyberbullying. I've seen a martial art build self-confidence in many people because mastery of a skill set and having the positive regard for oneself to believe we are worth defending often leads to a reduction and extinction of self-harm behaviors. And if we taught skills and tools for effectively regulating emotions, like as part of regular junior high or high school curriculum, I argue that we would be able to largely do away with the diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders that is foundationally biased, and most mental health disorders altogether. Very little research could reveal to you the groups that make these diagnoses, as well as the groups largely suffering from them, and how that reflects the power dynamics in this country and the world. By no means do you have to agree with me on this point. It is relevant to see cutting and other self-harm behaviors like fighting and food restricting through the frame of self-medication, because that is how we treat and eliminate cutting from your kids' coping repertoire. We've got to figure out what is causing such intense emotions in your kid that they are unable to cope without hurting themselves. And we'll start to figure that out in the next chapter.